Nobody cares for you like family. Family Heating
and Air. When you call to have your home or business's heating and air serviced, what do you expect from them? A salesman in a colorful truck? Or do you expect a highly trained expert with your best intentions in mind? The answer is obvious. Call the company that treats you like family. My name's Malia, and I look forward to answering your call.
Family Heating and Air Conditioning is your trusted local independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer.
Nobody cares for you like family. Family Heating and Air.
Good morning. It is Thursday, March 28th. It is 5 minutes after 11. You're listening to the Kendall and Casey Show on 93 WIBC. However, Rob Kendall has the day off, and in the studio is Brad Kloppenstein. Thank you for joining me today, Brad. I appreciate you.
Hi, Casey. How are you?
I'm good. You brought gifts today, didn't you?
I did bring gifts.
Okay, we're going to get to those in just a minute.
Okay. You let me know when you're ready.
All right. We have to mention about Joe Lieberman. He passed away, and his family let everybody know, 82 years old, and many people consider him a more moderate Democrat.
He was
one of those guys that kind of went through an evolution during his political career, a former senator from Connecticut, and he passed away from complications from a fall. He fell and never recovered from that. But when he started out, he was, I guess, what would you say, a mainstream Democrat?
I would call him a JFK type of Democrat.
Just how Democrats used to be.
Correct. Yes. So I would say a very moderate Democrat, if not right leaning a little bit.
Yeah. And then throughout his career, he then became an independent, and he was one of the co-founders of the No Labels ticket.
Right.
And then by the end of his career, he was leaning maybe a little bit more conservative.
I would think so. I can appreciate a guy who takes a good hard look at where politics are and says, you know what? My party has left me. I don't need to stick with this group anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go my own way.
Yeah. So in his farewell speech when he left the Senate in 2012, that's when he was kind of bemoaning what politics had become, almost a little foresight into the future, perhaps. But it was at the end of his career. He was on the ticket with Gore in 2000.
Right, 2000. So, yeah, he would have been in his late 50s at the time.
Yeah. Well, I read that one of the reasons that Al Gore picked him was because he was very vocal coming out against Bill Clinton and the whole Monica Lewinsky situation.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because, Gore needed to distance himself a little bit.
Yeah, here he is, Joe Lieberman.
It is hard to ignore the impact of the misconduct the president has admitted to.
Okay, so he came out and publicly was saying how awful that was of Bill Clinton, but at the end of the day, he voted with him.
Right.
You know, so that's one of those, you know, his actions did not match his words situations. But I read that it was Al Gore who picked Joe Lieberman as his running mate because Al Gore wanted to distance himself from the Clintons and say, I'm not just Clinton 2.0. So he picked Lieberman because Lieberman was very vocal about what Bill Clinton had done.
It was a good choice at the time. And actually, if you look back at that election, I think that they got more raw votes than George Bush did. They just lost the Electoral College.
Mm-hmm. And John McCain, before his passing, McCain was eulogized by Joe Lieberman, and he had later admitted that he wished that he had chosen Lieberman as his vice president nominee in his ticket instead of Sarah Palin. So that is how far Joe Lieberman had moved.
And apparently how much he was respected by both sides, it sounds like.
I wonder if that would have hurt or helped John McCain more.
I don't think it would have helped him. I mean, John McCain was never fully embraced by Republicans, and I never fully understood that.
Yeah.
He lost what should have been his base, I don't think it would have mattered who his running mate was. He just did not inspire him. But even in that campaign, I mean, early on in the primary cycle, John McCain was not doing well, and he kind of ended up just being the last man standing as opposed to the one that everybody really rallied behind.
Yeah. Lieberman was slamming Bill Clinton as being immoral, disgraceful, and lacking accountability. So it's just interesting when you look back on someone's I don't know, political career to see how they evolve over time.
What, like what's that. Interesting is I've gotten to that age where I've seen people's political careers evolve.
Evolve over time. Right. You were a witness to it. Yeah. Hey, so something exciting is starting tonight.
Starting or continuing?
Continuing. The Sweet 16 starting. The NCAA tournament continuing. We're both correct.
I am so excited. Mm-hmm. So you've got at 9 o'clock, Clemson, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
7:30, San Diego State, UConn. 9:39-ish, Alabama, North Carolina. And shortly after 10 o'clock, the Illinois Fighting Illini mm-hmm. taking on the Cyclones of Iowa State.
Okay, so when is Purdue playing? I mean, that's a big question.
Boiler up right there.
Uh-huh.
7:30 tomorrow night. So okay. I am filling in on the Hammer and Nigel show tomorrow afternoon, so I am going to have to run from these studios.
You'll be racing home.
To get home and get in front of the TV.
To the Kloffenstein Bar. Yep. Who are they playing?
Tomorrow they are... Oh, they got Gonzaga. Purdue has already beat Gonzaga once this year.
That's right. So I know. How's your bracket doing?
Not well. Although a lot of my teams are still around. I could resurrect a couple of these if they continue to go. So I picked some upsets in the first round, but fortunately I never picked those teams to continue to move on.
Did you pick Purdue to get to the Final Four?
I picked Purdue to win it all.
So did I!
I've got to go down with that ship.
Uh-huh.
But if it doesn't happen this year, Casey, I might just have to pack it in and say, yeah, I'm a Sycamores fan.
When was the last time it did happen? It was like...
1932, Purdue is the year that before they had a tournament, and mm-hmm. Purdue was named the national championship after the fact. They were runners up in 1968, I believe. They lost badly to UCLA, and then in 1980, Purdue made the Final Four. I think technically Purdue was considered the runner up that year because UCLA had to vacate.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of Zach Edey? Rob has been very vocal that he's just a tall guy.
Rob is very wrong in this. Zach Edey is a fine athlete. He is big. He is kind of like Shaq. If you remember when Shaq first came around, mm-hmm. people just didn't know what to do with him because he's proportional, he's coordinated, he's a good athlete. And I think it helps that Zach Edey was a pitcher, which I couldn't imagine facing that dude as a hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach Edey's throwing fastballs at you. He can kill you.
Yeah.
And then he was also a hockey player. So, I mean, he was coordinated
and
athletic.
That's true. He was a hockey player,
wasn't he?
I've
got the Purdue sweatshirt hockey jersey.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to have to get a lot of use out of that because one way or the other, Zach Edey's done playing here in a week and a half.
Mm-hmm. You're not biased at all being an alum.
No, I'm not biased at all. It doesn't matter. Purdue was 7-0 against the rest of the teams in the final in the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only team that does not have a loss against one of the others. So I just think, I mean, unless Purdue just has a horrible shooting night,
mm-hmm.
There's nobody that can match up with them.
They're going to turn it on, huh?
Yes.
So a win against Gonzaga in Detroit is going to put them in the Elite Eight. That's exciting. Now, I had put them in my bracket to win the whole thing last year, and then they were out within the first round. Right. I said I wasn't going to do that again this year, but then I'm such a homer. I did that anyway because
I hadn't even gotten back from the fridge last year. And they were already out of the tournament.
I know, right?
I grabbed a beer. I'm like, what do you mean they're out?
Right, the game's over. What are you talking about? So I looked at the brackets this year and I was like, okay, yeah, University of Dayton, you bet they'll be in the final two, and Purdue, yeah. Oh, and then they can play each other, so I win either way. And then the Dayton Flyers, they're out.
Do you have
course.
A connection to Dayton?
Well, I grew up in Dayton, but my father, my brother, and my sister were all graduates of UD. So,
okay.
You know, I would spend a lot of time in that area and going to the campus, and lots of relatives went there.
I've been there for the first four. That's kind of a neat event.
I grew up hearing from my dad because he was never a Notre Dame fan, so I, of course, had to live in South Bend for 25 years. I wish Notre Dame would realize there's another Catholic university in this country. And yes, we know, Dad, we know. So I've got Purdue to win the whole thing as well. So no pressure.
No.
Okay.
No, it's okay. They're playing loose.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I know we've now become the fan, but no.
It's okay. Did you put money on it?
No. I was in for you last week with Rob.
Uh-huh.
I am not, and I told Rob, I am not a big gambler. I realized a long time ago I'm not good at it, yeah. So I might as well just save my money.
Yeah, I just do it for fun too. Okay, so more people have left Marion County last year than anywhere else in the state. Suburban growth continuing to push Indy population down as everybody's moving to the burbs.
Right, exactly. So central Indiana, mm-hmm. so that's the 8-county region, it's grown by 2.3% since the year 2000, which is double the national rate. And I think we're number one in the Midwest as far as population growth. However, you're right, Marion County, we lost 15,000 people, mm-hmm. so they moved outward.
Yeah. So what? They've actually tallied exactly how many residents this is. 763 people have moved out of Marion County.
Oh, I thought it was 15,000. So, okay, so 700. Well, you and I are both Marion County residents.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, you haven't said anything today. Are you a Marion County resident?
I'm a Johnson County lifer.
Johnson County.
Actually,
for life.
I lived in Marion County for about a year, but
okay.
Mostly Johnson County.
So I'm more than technically, I am a Lawrence resident within mm-hmm. Marion County. Casey, I know you live somewhere
mm-hmm.
somewhere near downtown. So.
Yeah. And I can see, why wouldn't you move out to the donut counties?
Every once in a while, me and my wife talk about that.
Do you?
Which she has moved every like 3 or 4 years. We've mm-hmm. now been out in Lawrence for almost 5. So I think that she just gets the itch.
Yeah.
I have no desire to go.
You're just now building the Kloppenstein bar up to the way you want it.
Exactly.
To
the speakeasy is also, do you have any idea how hard it is
right.
to disassemble a bar and take everything down and move it?
Yeah. Well, that's what, as soon as you have it exactly how you want it, that's when she'll say, honey, it's time to move. But I mean, can you blame people for wanting to move out to the suburbs?
No.
The way crime is and, you know, the safety of downtown. And
until Marion
the
County
roads
gets a prosecutor who actually wants to prosecute criminals,
mm-hmm.
Marion County is going to have a problem. And you know, there's other problems until the state can fix the road funding formula
mm-hmm.
where Marion County is actually getting the dollars per lane mile as opposed to the dollars per street mile. Our roads are going to suffer. Our infrastructure is going to suffer. There's some things that need to be corrected here. However, in the big scheme of things, fortunately, Indianapolis is not Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have some of the problems of our peers that are other large metropolitan areas where the city core has gone south. But I think in this article it said Louisville has had the same problem
mm-hmm.
where the official city of Louisville has lost population. So it's an issue that's nationwide, and it's at least something to watch.
So even after this drop, Marion County still ranks as the country's 54th most populous county, and the Indianapolis metro area is still 34th in the nation. So if you're looking at market size,
so that's the number I typically look at when somebody says, how big's your city?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the boundaries are somewhat arbitrary. Central Indiana exists as a statistical area, and that's 2.1 million people.
Some other areas throughout the state that are losing population, Elkhart, Goshen in northern Indiana, also Bloomington and Michigan City. Michigan City doesn't surprise me at all.
I'm fascinated by Bloomington just because college towns typically mm-hmm. don't slide backwards like
right,
that.
They seem to stay more stagnant. Because they have a continual, population base that comes every year.
Yeah, and Elkhart Goshen is one. It's a lot of heavy manufacturing, RV industry
RV.
Up there. And mm-hmm. so it lives or dies based on the RV industry. But even when you lump it in with South Bend, I think, and you spent some time up in South Bend. I don't know why South Bend.
25 years.
Sometime.
Just a minute a or two.
Yeah. So I would think. I don't know why South Bend doesn't grow, and it just hasn't. I mean, it's been relatively stagnant for a number of years,
mm-hmm.
and that's one, you know, central Indiana has been a bright, shiny object in the Midwest now for 15 or 20 years. And I think other than Minneapolis, we've been second in the Midwest as far as percentage growth, and we've even outgrown like Chicago and mm-hmm. just in raw numbers. So
even with the population decline in Marion County and these others areas that we've mentioned, the state as a whole has grown by nearly 30,000 residents. And we now have a total population of 6.86 million people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it hasn't grown that much. It's not Dallas.
No.
It's not Florida.
Or Arizona. But
right. That's a pretty
So, but we're doing better than New England.
That's a pretty small increase.
It is.
It is 20 after 11. You're listening to the Kendall and Casey Show. It's 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
There's this thing coming up on April 8th that seems to have gotten a lot of attention. Have you heard anything?
April 8th, that's the NCAA finals.
Is that what's going on? No, I'm talking about the eclipse. Okay, in eyeglasses now, hot item, right?
They are very hot item. So it was interesting. 2 years ago, I went to a Chamber of Commerce executives conference, and all the chamber execs that were in the path of totality from the 2017 eclipse were talking to those of us who are in the path of the eclipse here in 2024, saying, listen, you got to get on this now. You can't start planning early enough. No matter how big you think it's going to be twice as big. Mm-hmm. You're going to be inundated. You got to get ahead of this. So I started meeting with the city of Lawrence like the next week, and they were extraordinarily skeptical at the time. I'm like, no, we've got to get prepared for this now. So we've been meeting monthly and then more recently every other week, just to make sure that we got our plans in order. And then from
you guys ordered like 10,000. Pairs?
So I run the Chamber of Commerce in Lawrence, and so we volunteered to come up with the total eclipse glasses. So I brought a pair for you and Kevin each.
Nice.
I don't want you to burn your retinas, Casey.
No, I don't want to do that either. Thank you very much, because I'm not prepared. Totally don't have glasses. Well, I do now, thanks to the Lawrence Chamber. But so do you still have these glasses? Yeah, are they still available?
So they are still available. So they are available for purchase at Porter Books and Bread, Saltier Toys and Games in Lawrence, the Groovy Cat Cafe, and Triton Brewery. So, in fact, Triton just launched a eclipse-themed beer yesterday.
Of course they did.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's all eclipse.
Get eclipse beer and eclipse glasses so you can get them there. I've got them at the chamber office. And then the city of Lawrence, we're going to have entertainment and a live stage at Community Park, which is over by the Finance Center in Lawrence. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have at least 1,000 pairs to give away that day. So if you want to gamble and think and hope to get the free ones there, you can, or if you want to buy them ahead of time just to make sure you've got them, they're available at those locations.
Okay, so it's April 8th. It's a Monday. The moon's shadow, which is about 115 miles wide, is going to cross Mexico, sweep northeast from Texas to Maine, and of course, we are right in the center of it. It's going to last about 4.5 minutes. The actual eclipse will last 4.5 minutes, but right, you'll start noticing it about 1:30, 1:40.
Yes.
And it's a little after 3 when the eclipse will happen.
When it gets dark.
Yeah, and then after that, it'll start being sunny again. And what's going to happen to all your plans if it's a cloudy day?
That's the big rub. So I know at least the city of Lawrence will make a decision the night before. If it looks like it's going to be inclement weather, then they may change or move or cancel.
Next day's eclipse?
I've had somebody legitimately say, well, can't we just do it the next day?
Yeah.
Like, no, we cannot.
Well, I don't know. Do you have some control over the stars and skies?
Yeah. It's a gamble, because traditionally on April 8th, it's about a 50%. Half the days are cloudy in central Indiana on that day. So we could have a cloudy or a rainy day, or it could be a glorious day like today. Uh-huh. So we'll see. I mean, there's nothing we can do about that. So a lot of the events will go on. If it is overcast, I mean, it'll still get dark. It just won't be as brilliant. But one thing, and you kind of referenced this, I've still been amazed by the number of people that are poo-pooing this event. I mean, people are like, well, really, it only lasts 5 minutes. I mean, you know, are people just going to stop what they're doing for 5 minutes, look at it, and then go on about their day? It's like, no, you don't understand. There's legitimately going to be 600,000 additional people just in central Indiana. I mean, this is going to be the Indy 500, probably times two.
Of eclipses?
Of eclipses, yeah. Just of people around. I mean, when I've talked to the other chamber execs, they say all your convenience stores, people will buy up all the chips, all the soft drinks, all the water. Restrooms are going to be at a premium. Restaurants are going to be overwhelmed. We've been trying to talk to all the restaurants that are traditionally closed on Sunday night or Monday, saying be sure that you're going to be open, just because there's going to be business to be had. It is going to be, it's an all weekend event.
I mean, yeah,
it all is, the hotels are sold out.
It is a once in a lifetime event. And, you know, I too like an eclipse. I like attention without being looked at directly, but, you know, I black out on a Monday and people say it's a problem, right? Sun blacks out. It's okay. Let's celebrate.
Yeah.
But did you hear that Eric Holcomb issued executive orders?
No.
Ahead of this? Yeah. It's to enlist support of state agencies for the event, like extra law enforcement and things of that nature.
It's definitely all hands on deck.
Department of Homeland Security, for them to be ready and on call.
Yeah, well, it's just with the influx of additional people, I mean, you're going to need additional law enforcement and all, you know, it's just things like municipal water and sewer. Those things are going to get more, you know, heavily used than it normally would.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to consume a lot of resources, but there's just going to be a lot of people in from out of town. I know
a lot of extra people.
We have people coming in from out of town that are staying with us. My neighbors have all said that, yeah, they go, yeah, we've got friends that we don't see very often, but conveniently they want to come in that week.
Who do we know who lives in Indianapolis? Yeah. Sure. Well, I guess this executive order is to ensure that the Indiana Department of Homeland Security can coordinate assistance with federal, state, and local agencies and just...
So it will go off without a hitch. Mm-hmm. However, on that particular day...
Is that a guarantee from Brad Klopfenstein?
You got the Brad Klopfenstein hashtag why I love Lawrence guarantee. Things are going to go smoothly. However, be prepared for some traffic tie-ups, just because there's going to be a lot of additional cars around.
Yeah. Well, thank you for bringing those glasses in for me. I appreciate that. Now I can look directly at the sun. It is 11:28. It is the Kendall and Casey Show on 93 WIBC. You got to let them know if you want to ride the bus. That sounds reasonable to me. It is the Kendall and Casey Show. It's 93 WIBC. Brad Klopfenstein in for Rob Kendall today. So Indianapolis Public Schools, their families are now going to need to sign up in advance for the first time if they want their child to take the yellow bus to and from school. I don't see, what is there an issue here?
I don't think there is, other than they said that apparently they run the bus by every home of every student they have every day, regardless of whether or not their parents take them.
But now you just got to let them know if your kid's going to ride the bus.
Yeah. So I think beginning of the school year, you say, hey, we plan on using the bus all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're one of the people who normally takes the kid in, but you need them to ride the bus, I think you have to call the day before saying, hey, we need to stop at our place.
Now,
but it seems reasonable to me.
It seems reasonable to me, too. I'm trying to think back to when my daughter was younger, if we had to sign up for the bus, or if it was just she was automatically signed up when she was enrolled in school.
I think they're automatically signed up.
Yeah,
normally.
And I believe she probably was automatic, because this is going back a few years, but I'm trying to think, like, you know, when she was in first grade, you know, I think I might have been one of those nervous parents. How does the bus know to come get her?
Right.
Oh, well, because she signed up for school and it magically happened. But everybody knows when kids start school, that first or second day, they come back with that huge packet of paperwork that you have to fill out, you know, the emergency contact cards and everything they're signing up for throughout the year. And I mean, it takes 1.5 to 2 hours to go through that packet of papers. This is just one more paper that you have to sign off on saying, yeah, they're going to ride the bus.
So now I wonder how they determine, or if they have kids opt in, who are the kids that walk to school as opposed to who gets bussed in? There must be a proximity formula that they have, something. But this sounds very reasonable to me, and I know that they said that there's, that there's about 4,000 kids who don't ride the bus, and that this will help them in planning and save a little bit of time and money.
Okay, so Indianapolis Public Schools, they have 242 bus drivers, 156 bus attendants, and their daily ridership is 16,217 students. I mean, this to me just sounds as a way to be accountable for all the students, to help with scheduling and budgeting, and just to be more proactive. We just want to know, is your kid a bus rider or not? And if they don't ride the bus, I'm sure there's a step, or they're a normal bus rider, but that day they won't be on the bus.
I'm sure that should just be something where, you go to their website and you fill out a little form, and they take care of it, which I can see where this is probably more difficult for IPS, just because their student population tends to be a little bit more transient. So you've got kids that are moving in and out more during the school year, and just balancing all that out, I'm sure, is... it's a difficult task, and I'm sure that this is just one thing that kind of helps them in that process.
It just helps them stay on task. And, you know, if there's a parent who has an issue with it, it's called parenting.
Yeah.
You had these children. They're your responsibility. This is just another one of those things that you have to do along the way. Okay, have you heard all of the stories about squatting? What is going on with squatting? There was that person, the illegal, who was on TikTok, and he was encouraging other illegal migrants to invade homes. And there's this other migrant who encouraged squatting, and he was breaking ICE rules. I mean, what's going on with all the squatting? Does it make you afraid to go on vacation that if you come back, somebody will be in your home?
A little bit. The way this should work is, if somebody is in your home, the police should come and get them out and take them to jail. It sounds like a lot of these places now have prosecutors that are unwilling to have any consequences for squatting. I've always been a firm believer that society works when you have respect for property rights, and if somebody is squatting or stealing your stuff, that there's punishment and there's consequences for doing that. It's when you remove the consequences that it's allowed to flourish.
When I got back from my few days off and we got back into the house, I was like, okay, nobody's here, we're good. But that shouldn't even have to enter your mind, that if you're going to leave your home for an hour, a day, a week, that somebody's going to come and commandeer it.
So now I've heard some of this, like especially in homes that are for rent, where, you know, people go look at the house, leave a door unlocked, and then, you know, or even worse, they'll rent it off to somebody else and they're not the official landlord. So you've got somebody who then gives them money, who's then officially a squatter, although they've given money to somebody. And so it's an issue, but it's one that I hope that we do not allow to proliferate, and that they take care of it. Because, I'm with you. The last thing I want is to come home and somebody saying, I live here now.
No, you don't.
That's not going to end well.
Ron DeSantis doing something about it. He signed a bill at removing residential squatters. And he said that under this measure, this bill, if you're a victim of squatting, you can simply fill out a form, give it to your local sheriff, and the sheriff is instructed to go and remove the people who are inhabiting your dwelling illegally.
Does your house belong to you? Or if you are not using it, can someone just come in, squat for a period of time, and then claim that they have a right to be there? This so-called squatter scam is something that's happening around the country. There's even videos telling people how to go in and take over an empty house. That was never how the law was supposed to work. And in Florida, we are going to take action today to end this scam and to protect the private property rights of our homeowners. You should not have anyone go on your property and take it over and then try to assert some rights. It's absurd. We're going to put an end to it today, and we'll be leading the way yet again in the process.
Cheers to you, Ron DeSantis.
Look at that. Ron DeSantis getting something done again.
I don't know why he wouldn't do things like this when he's actually running for president.
Yeah. Okay, so you did something. Was it last night?
Last night.
You were at Slippery Noodle.
So yes, so we had
the
Indiana Licensed Beverage Association. I am part of their board of directors, and we had a meeting of bar owners from around the state, and we.
So what do you guys do at your meeting?
Talk just about a lot of rules, regulations. I mean, alcohol is obviously a highly regulated industry. So a big topic of conversation last
night. Happy hours?
Indiana's new happy hour law.
Yeah.
Which it's funny that, that was not on our radar. The whole legislative session, and suddenly it came through. But I've always said nothing happens in a vacuum. And so I've been trying to figure out, where did this come from? Who was behind it? Who was pushing it? Why now? Because it wasn't the bars, and we're the ones affected by it. And then I finally find out yesterday it was pushed by the insurance companies, because there is a clause in there that says if you participate in a happy hour, you now have to carry at least $500,000 in liquor liability insurance.
Oh, it's a way for them to make money.
It is. So
it's always about money.
It is. So so the insurance companies had a good lobbyist.
So only if you do a happy hour do you have to carry that extra insurance?
Only if you do a happy hour, because Indiana does not require that you carry liquor liability insurance. But now, so this is an end around to encourage bar owners, which I've always encouraged bar owners. You should carry some liquor liability insurance just because things happen.
So if you're a bar owner, now you have to weigh, are you going to make enough money on happy hour to pay for the policy?
Right.
Or make more in happy hour to pay?
And this is just one example, but one of the bar owners who was there last night said that his liquor liability insurance rates went up sevenfold. And so now it makes me think, were the insurance companies playing it? Apparently they're jacking rates now because they can.
Okay, so was there discussion about gambling in bars?
There was discussion about gambling in bars. So
outside of casinos, you're talking
outside
about.
Outside of casinos. So when I was executive director of the association back in 2008, I think, we got pull tabs legalized for bars. So if you've ever played pull tabs in a bar in Indiana, that was me.
Look at you go.
I know. I missed her everything.
Doing so much for society.
Also the reason that you can stay out that extra hour when the clocks turn forward in the spring.
That's you?
That's me.
Okay. Okay, so what was determined about gambling
in
bars?
Bars, if you've ever been to Illinois, Illinois allows electronic gaming, basically slot machines, up to five machines per bar in each establishment. In Indiana, we have an initiative to do something similar here. And so we've got a bill sponsor. In fact, we had a sponsor this year, and then the bill didn't go anywhere. We're hoping that next year that actually gets some traction and goes through. And some of it is there's just fewer and fewer kind of mom and pop independent neighborhood bars, corner bars. Those are going by the wayside. And some of it is just society and laws make it. It leans more towards breweries and chain restaurants. And so we're trying to push this as a way to help some of these small independents survive. I mean, none of these places are
going to attract more customers.
To attract more customers.
Come to our bar where you can do some gambling.
Yeah, and then they'll get a cut of the take on it. So the average bar is going to make $40,000 a year, but that's $40,000 that can go into improving the restrooms or putting a new roof on the place or doing whatever improvements need to be done. So those were the two big topics of conversation. And but it was just a good way to organize. With COVID, we kind of had stopped getting together just as a group, and this was kind of our first attempt at.
But now you're back on.
Put the band back together. Exactly.
Okay, there you go. Now, you had mentioned that Indy Star is doing a burger bracket.
They are doing a burger bracket.
Like the basketball bracket, only for burgers.
They are.
Now, there's a lot of places on the list, and again, like I normally do with these brackets, the one that I chose as the winner is out already, which would have been Brew Burger.
Brew Burger has a tasty burger. So let me look at this. How many now of the Sweet 16, how many of those do you think that you'd been to?
That's what I'm saying. Not many.
Not many?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like right now, Working Man's Friend.
I don't know if you know, but prices for things right now are a little high, Brad. So I try to regulate my going out.
Casey, you are a famous radio host.
Don't go out as much. You have to like be selective. So
I thought you were like Scrooge McDuck, where you just went home and did a money bath every afternoon.
Right. The key word in that sentence was radio host.
Okay, so we'll back up. So your favorite burger is the one that you have Jim do on the grill.
Right, I have been too. I make just a little bit more than you do.
Okay.
How much you make for being here right now?
Well, it used to be free. It's now slightly above free.
Okay, I thought it was still free. Good for you.
Apparently, the new station owner said we can't allow free anymore. So.
Oh, good. Okay. So how many have you been to? Have you frequented all of these burger brackets?
I've been to Working
places?
Man's Friend. They've got a good smash burger, so mm-hmm. I can see why they're in there.
And that's what you like, the smash burger?
I do like the smash burger. It reminds me of the old concession stand burgers.
Yeah.
From the days of playing Little League Baseball mm-hmm. and stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know why I like that, but I do. 317 Burger still in there. I have not had that one. Babies, I've never heard of, mm-hmm. so I'm curious. Fat Dan's.
Who made this bracket?
Yeah, exactly. Fat Dan's does have a good burger. Mm-hmm. Fire by the Monon, I have not tried. Bub's Burger's in there, and Flame Burger. So, Prodigy Burger went out in the first round, so did District Tap. So of those, I've had mm-hmm. probably three of them. Mm-hmm. Working Man's Friend would be my favorite.
Okay. So you're still in it.
I'm still in it, yeah.
What, like, if you fill out the bracket correctly, like, what do you win? A burger?
It's just for fun, for yeah. bragging rights of whoever wins it. So, but if you haven't been to Working Man's Friend, Casey, it mm-hmm. is a local icon. It's kind of on the near west side.
That's the one you recommend?
That's the one I recommend. They're okay. only open for lunch. It's an old tavern and a deep in the inside of a neighborhood. It's hard to find, but well worth the trip.
Something I wanted to bring to your attention is that the organizers, you know, the Olympics are coming up this summer.
Yes, they are.
Right? Are you a fan of the Olympics?
I
loved the Olympics when I was young.
Yes. So I feel like they're trying
out of my country.
Yeah. Yes, it makes me a real homer. I mm-hmm. sometimes feel they're trying to cram certain sports down my throat, mm-hmm. but just in general, I like it because you see things on TV you don't normally see, mm-hmm. sports you don't normally see,
right.
and heroes you don't normally know are going to be your heroes.
Right. So the organizers of the Paris Olympics, they're providing 300,000 condoms for the athletes. They're encouraging mingling in the Olympic Village.
Now, I have heard that is kind of, that's been the dirty little secret of the Olympics forever. Mm-hmm. That when these athletes are done competing, it is party time and they are all shacking up with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not hating on anybody who's trying to get a little action.
So they had really strict rules in the Tokyo Games, if you recall reports of that. And they're saying that, you know, they're trying to encourage these athletes to be social again and, you know, create goodwill towards each other, creating a lot of goodwill because they're passing out 300,000 condoms for the 9,000 athletes.
Now, if it wasn't for those condoms, imagine.
No, did you do the math on that, Brad? 300,000 condoms for 9,000 athletes.
Who am I to judge?
Okay.
I'm just saying, without the condoms, there'd be a lot of super athletes mm-hmm. 20 years from now.
Possibly. So the Olympics, it's going to be, what, July 26th through August 11th, and they're taking place in Paris.
So, which Paris is, they say it's for lovers, so.
They're bringing the intimacy back in the summer games,
which,
right?
The opening ceremonies, they've mm-hmm. got people on, they're going to have all the countries come in on boats on the Seine River. I think that's going to be pretty cool to watch.
Is that what they're doing?
Yeah.
Oh, that will be neat. Okay, it is the Kendall and Casey Show. It's 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
So they're in the NIT Final Four, and tickets going for a little bit more than they used to be. You gonna go?
So, Casey, over the weekend, I actually bought tickets to the NIT. It's up at Hinklefield House at mm-hmm. Butler.
Yeah.
They face value on them was like $20. And then with fees, and I think I bought parking. Effectively, I was in them for $30 a seat for the two nights. Well, then Indiana State wins, and they sold out in minutes after that game on Tuesday night.
Yeah, they played Cincinnati, right?
They played Cincinnati, beat mm-hmm. Cincinnati. So, now, on the secondary market, tickets are going for about five times what I paid.
Okay, so here's the conundrum. Do you go and support the team, or do you sell those tickets and make a little money?
So here's my dilemma. Unfortunately, he's not within range of our signal, so he's not going to hear. So my cohort up in Elkhart, LaVon Johnson, played football for Indiana State, so he runs the Elkhart Chamber of Commerce. I invited LaVon down to watch the game. This is before I knew what the tickets were going for.
Yeah.
So LaVon's planning on coming to Indianapolis to watch the Sycamores.
Yeah.
And I don't have the heart to tell him that I want to sell the tickets.
No, don't. The experience is
so
worth
I'm going
so
for the experience.
More.
It is. My wife would say otherwise.
Well, did your wife buy the tickets? No, I'm not going to start a fight there between the two of you. But I would say you need to just go to the game with your friend and have a good time.
Yeah, so I think that that's what we're going to do. And then plan on going for the finals. So
how many tickets did you buy?
I just bought three, which in hindsight, had I known it would have been like this, I would have bought an entire row.
So your wife's going to go with you.
Okay. Actually, my son-in-law is going on Tuesday night, and then my buddy Bill from Fishers is going to go on the finals night.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Now, do you feel like you're betraying your beloved Boilermakers?
No. No, basketball in Indiana is better when all the teams are good, and I think it's an embarrassment that this state only sent one team to the tournament this year.
I mean, like, where was IU?
Yeah, back in the 90s, it used to be Notre Dame, IU, Purdue would go every...
Now Notre Dame's women is going.
Notre Dame's women, they're going, but, I mean, those three you could almost always count on, and then usually Ball State would go, Indiana State would be in there, Valparaiso. You would get four, five, six teams to go, and as big as basketball is here, there should be more teams in Indiana going, and I think if you can beat other good teams from your region, it just makes it all the better.
Rising tide raises all
it
boats.
It does. I mean, I hate the fact that Purdue has to beat a weakling IU team every year, time and time again.
Oh, no.
Over and over. Oh, it's like, no. Oh, my gosh, we
Purdue
crushed
won
them again.
Oh, no.
Hey, I probably shouldn't say that. We're the home of IU athletics
you know what?
Here.
I've got money going to Purdue, and I have for the past 4 years, so let me get it out. By the way, my daughter are still set to graduate in May. Fingers
cross your
crossed.
Fingers. You don't want another
Boy,
semester.
Let me tell you, she's been writing this paper. It's a final term paper, and the big brain on those kids there, it's amazing. I just had to brag for a minute. But this also reminds me that we need to encourage everybody to go over to the Hammer and Nigel Twitter page and vote for Lasorda in the Meltdown Madness presented by Window Nation.
Get those votes in, because that ends today, right?
On behalf of the Kendall and Casey show, you want to vote Lasorda, because we're taking on the Goliath of the Bob Knight audio.
I love it. Stuff in the ballot box.
Do it. Okay, so there was this other story that we have to talk about really quick, and that is this guy who racked up, what, $47 million?
In debt.
Because of pickleball?
I can't imagine that there's been $47 million spent on pickleball aggregate throughout the world, but somehow, this guy, Rodney Grubbs from Brookville, Indiana.
Yeah, from Brookville. He owes $47 million to creditors who are alleging pickleball fraud.
Casey, bigger question in my mind, I don't know how many years this guy has had this company, but how do you blow $47 million and not have anything to show for it?
Are you sure that's not a typo? That seems like an incredible amount of money.
$47 million? Yeah.
There's a 224-page summary of his assets and liabilities, and that is only slightly more than $382,000. So where he's going to come up with the $47 million... Or he's not going to have to pay this back.
I think your man's going to go to jail. It's fraud.
Kevin, have you played pickleball? You like pickleball. You play weekly, don't you?
Yeah, I try to play weekly with my friends.
Have you spent $47 million on pickleball?
No, I mean, I spend $10 to play at the pickleball facility, and that's about it.
$47 million divided by 10.
I guess, okay, so his business sells pickleball apparel and equipment. And he travels to tournaments to sell his products, and somewhere along the lines,
apparently he wasn't charging enough for his stuff. I'd like to know more on how he got so upside down and how nobody called him on this. But usually when you hear some company going bankrupt, they might owe $47 million, but then they've got $30 or $35 million in assets. This guy effectively has zero assets.
Well, he did go through a bankruptcy hearing, and he's got 7 different bank accounts with 2 different banking institutions, and 3 of the bank accounts have negative balances.
Yeah, my guess is he wasn't disclosing that he had all these bank accounts and he owed money to all these other people, so his balance sheet looked a lot better.
So is that what you call burning the books?
That's exactly what they call burning the books. And Brad, that's why you go to jail.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks, Casey.
I appreciate you. I also appreciate you for listening today. Thanks, Kevin. Tony Katz is up next. This has been the Kendall and Casey Show on 93 WIBC.